One thing that stood out to me, so I was, you know, during the workshop, just helping as one of the mentors and just asking mm-hmm. the teams, how's it going, and unblocking them. And I saw there's this one team, they're professional app script developers. They were literally finished with most of yeah. the challenges after 5 minutes. But when we asked them, okay, how did you go about, they used AI.
Yes.
And then I was speaking to another team and they were really struggling. And I was like, well, you know, have you checked Gemini? Have you asked Gemini? I was like, no, that's cheating, you know? Welcome to the Workspace Developers YouTube channel. Today's a special edition of the Developer Spotlight because we're in beautiful Paris and it's the day after the Workspace Developer Summit. I think you know this person next to me here on my right, maybe, yes. Steve Basil, head of Workspace Developer Relations, been with Workspace how long?
Well, Google for 16 years now. Wow. Workspace, well, it depends when you count the start of Workspace, but yeah, it's going back to Google Apps for Business, G Suite, Google Workspace.
So you've been with yeah. all of the name changes.
All the name changes, exactly.
Very
yes,
good. Yeah. And to my left, I have Jakob. Want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure, thanks. Yeah, my name is Jakob. I'm a developer advocate since May. I'm very fortunate to join this team. Before that, I used to work as a Google Cloud Platform customer engineer and later a Workspace customer engineer.
Very cool. Happy to have you with us. And we'll actually ask you a little bit about your experience the first time as a team member joining one of our summits. So, yeah, summit yesterday here in Paris. Always good to be here in the city.
Super fun.
We have a huge, you know, Workspace developer community here in France and actually throughout Europe, but especially mm-hmm. strong here in France. And I'd actually like to chat a bit about a session that I did, service accounts.
And it was fantastic, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. Too kind, too kind.
That's but what
it's
I heard
based
too.
It's yeah. based on your blog post. So we've been actually, you know, preparing yeah. the session kind of together,
yes,
chatting
yeah.
about
yeah.
service accounts and also the difficulties that
yeah,
come
it's,
with
it's
using it.
It's confusing, yeah.
Absolutely. So one thing that was really interesting, given we are here in EMEA, I did mention something in my session yesterday that is mm-hmm. really relevant. So what happens is that legacy service accounts, let's call yeah. them legacy in the sense of that before, I think it's the 15th or the 25th of March this 2025,
yeah, I think so.
Before that, service accounts had their own My Drive. Mm-hmm. It was something that developers used, meaning that you might have an automatically generated Google Doc and yes. that was stored to the My Drive of the service account. Now, what a lot of people might not have noticed is that this service account actually belongs mm-hmm. to the Google Cloud project and not the Google Workspace domain, meaning that the admin settings set in place, and this is a big one here in EMEA, data regionalization
yes, yeah,
does
exactly.
not apply.
Yeah, and all your security controls, your data loss prevention, all of that is
absolutely
yeah, out of scope. Yeah.
So that was kind of like an interesting learning for a lot of folks yesterday. What is your suggestion, Steve? How would now a developer who's been made aware of this, how would they deal with this?
It's a really good question. I chatted with a few of the attendees yesterday after your talk, and they had the exact same question. Mm-hmm. I certainly know I've worked with partners in the past who have taken advantage of the free storage, for better or for worse. I was always slightly discouraged, but we're just like, well, it's possible. But yeah, so you're right. There are a lot of developers who are now, okay, well, what now? Mm-hmm. And the main thing with the change is service accounts were never really intended to be resource owners. So they were for a while, but now, you know, we can't just delete those files. We can't just, you know, turn it off and say, hey, bye. But they are grandfathered in for the files that they have, and they can stay there. But if things like regionalization and so on are important, the recommendation is to migrate those files to shared drives, which then requires a few steps to do that. First being you have to grant the service account access to the shared drive as if it's a user, mm-hmm. because service accounts are users in a way. They have an email address and so on. But once you grant them access, then that service account then needs to go through the process of transferring ownership from their own account into the shared drive. And then once it's in the shared drive, then you know, all the, it's like that's owned by the organization, mm-hmm. and then all the policies that an administrator, you know, their whatever governance they have set up, that should all apply in that case. But, you know, there may be other changes that they have to do as part of that. It's not just simply changing the ownership. They may have to make changes in their backend and change how they use the API in different ways in order to make that transition seamless.
Yeah, so it can be maybe a little change to your app, yeah. but it can be a significant change.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah. Depending on that. So also just something we want to highlight in this, you know, episode. And it also, you know, as I was preparing for this, I think it makes a lot of sense that we kind of like leave it grandfathered in, because yes, if we were to just, I don't know, delete that My Drive, we will break so many applications.
Oh, yeah, that's not an option.
Do that. So yeah. It's like, in this moment, it's really on the developer to deal yeah. with it. But going forward from that date where we kind of like flick the switch, mm-hmm. it's clear the default is there is no My Drive for their service account. So you do give them access to shared drives in your organization or to folders within shared drives. And so that is like all taken care of and all of your domain policies apply. So, you know, from then onwards, it's not really a problem.
Or to a user. I mean, maybe your domain or your organization doesn't have licenses that include shared drives, so mm-hmm. you would have to pick a user who gets access to it.
Yeah, another option. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the more there's another case on this. So a lot of what you're talking about is sort of in the case of the enterprise customer, mm-hmm. right? Where I have a shared drive that I own. There's another case which is kind of equally tricky, which is we have a lot of partners and you know software vendors mm-hmm. who have. I don't want to necessarily use the word exploited, but you know, taking advantage of the fact that you know service accounts can own files, and I've seen some that have created hundreds or thousands of service accounts to sort of, you know, shards storage across, and those are a little harder because they don't necessarily, a shared drive is not necessarily the right solution in that case.
Yeah,
and so you know, and really in that case, we would want probably the file ownership to go to their customers. But that may be a little bit more involved process for mm-hmm. the customer to then set up a shared drive and grant access and so on. So, you know, depending on the case, it can get pretty complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point. And just also for the viewers watching, the session we're talking about, we recorded the one that was held in Sunnyvale. Mm-hmm. So the Workspace Developer Summit this year was in Sunnyvale and in Paris. And my colleague Mohamed did the one in Sunnyvale. So we'll be releasing that here on YouTube. So you get a chance to also yeah. have a look at the entire session and also the best practices that we share when you are using service accounts for workspace development. Now, Jakob, you also held a session. Mm-hmm. Was yesterday on the main stage here. I know you also held it in Sunnyvale.
Yes.
So we'll also be releasing that. Can you tell us a little bit about what you talked about during your session?
Yeah, I talked about custom step development in Flows. So a new product that is rolling out to Workspace users. It will be a product where you can build workflows, chain activities or actions and events together from multiple mm-hmm. Google Workspace apps. And as part of that, I think it will be important to also include custom development, because mm-hmm. maybe not every flavor of a step will be available to as a first-party solution. Yesterday, we had the example that right now we weren't able to send HTML-based emails, so we can currently send text-based emails, and for mm-hmm. that we simply wrote a small custom step also for operating with certain third-party systems. If you have one that is very proprietary, you could write your own custom step and connect to that and building it into the workflow that you've already set up for mm-hmm. for yourself.
So the idea with Workspace Flows is that, let's say we like to talk about or think mm-hmm. about agents that mm-hmm. are doing something on behalf of me. So I would have this agent that is kind of like listening when an email comes in, maybe from a specific domain, then, you know, start doing things maybe in chat, maybe mm-hmm. in calendar. But then there's kind of like the limitation, that's what you're speaking about, maybe doing things that it can't do out of the box. Mm-hmm. And if I wanted to use such a custom step, how would I get started? Like, how do I create that?
So you will have to know what a Google Workspace add-on is. Mm-hmm. Flows will be just another attribute in the manifest file, so in the appscript.json, just like you have Gmail, Sheets, Docs, you add Flows, and this element will contain workflows, workflow elements, they're mm-hmm. called. So when you create one add-on, it's not that you only provide one action to the user. You can provide many, many different actions, and those actions will pop up as tiles in the workflow manager.
Mm-hmm. So kind of like steps that they can use and that they can configure?
Yes,
and
they can configure. They have inputs and outputs that they take. Mm-hmm. So you configure what type of variables they want. So there you see it's a little bit of developer mindset, so you need to understand what type of input do I want to accept, how will I parse it, how will I return something. So it's you solve the development part and you provide this as a simple tile with a UI to the user in workflow, so that a desk user who has no development experience can take advantage of your mm-hmm. add-on.
And what I find super, you know, interesting about creating custom flows as, you know, an AppScript fan yeah. is that I think it's going to be kind of like the introduction to AppScript for a lot of citizen mm-hmm. developers who say, I want to go beyond the capabilities of flows. I want to create my own custom mm-hmm. steps. And they'll see how, you know, it's relatively easy actually to do things with AppScript, create mm-hmm. your own custom steps, even call external APIs, maybe call other large language models, do really cool stuff. And I think we're going to see a lot of new AppScript developers and new people coming to Workspace Developer Summits.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't see Flows as replacing AppScript in any mm-hmm. way, but it is a really good introduction into sort of automations and agents and the capability of customizing the platform.
Yeah.
And then, it's a gateway into, I can do this. What else could mm-hmm. I do? Right. And then you can start to branch out into AppSheet and AppScript and really start to take advantage of the platform.
Absolutely. Yeah. And obviously it's something that we're going to be making videos about on this YouTube channel. And, Steve, I know you've been playing mm-hmm. around with custom steps a lot. Is there like any specific one you use that you want to share?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few. I mean, I have some useful ones. I have some, I would say, just kind of silly ones that I use as well. But the ones that I'm finding the most useful for all flows in general, one that doesn't really require a custom step, but actually find really useful is just getting a daily summary of what's in my inbox.
Yeah.
And that's Gemini powered. And so there's actually a built-in step for summarize my unread emails. And mm-hmm. you can customize the prompt and tell it what to prioritize. So it's great. So I get in the morning and I have a chat message and it's like, okay, here's what you have to pay attention to. Super valuable. Yeah. For the custom steps, the one I like is so Faraz had PM for Flows had actually uses this himself, and I have my own version is chat threads to bugs. So pretty often the case that we discuss technical issues or product issues in chat, and they'll be back and forth, and it's like, hey, is this supposed to work this way, or mm-hmm. What do you think, or we should update the docs. And so you have this context of this conversation about, okay, here's the issue. We think we know what the issue is or what the feature request is. It would be really nice to be able to just quickly turn that into an issue. Mm-hmm. And so I have a flow that that uses a custom step. And so it just uses an emoji reaction. Yeah. So I just have the ladybug emoji. And
fitting.
Exactly. So you just, ladybug it. And then it will go back. The flow will get the message that you tagged, read the entire context. Uses Gemini with a custom prompt to summarize that, and it's instructed on how to create a good issue, and then based on the chat space, it will then create an issue in the issue tracker. And that last part of the issue tracker, because we have our own internal systems, that required a custom step.
Yeah.
And fortunately, we have an AppScript API for it, so it was actually fairly easy mm-hmm. To create that. And actually, there's another person did a video with 2 weeks ago, Dave Abuov. He actually maintains a version of that as well internally that other people have been using. And it's a nice little flow, and it's really convenient to mm-hmm. quickly turn things in. I have some other ones that are kind of silly. It's kind of done on a dare mm-hmm. from one of our product managers. Just like, hey, could we automatically meme based on an emoji reaction? And so we created a AI-generated meme step, and it's stupid, but it works unreasonably well.
I think it could also come in handy with the service account issue. Yeah. So, especially when you say you have many, many service accounts, not just one, and maybe they were used for different customers or different teams. So you would want people, or you would want to give the option to people to just configure, okay, somebody requests access to that file. You build your custom step that does the permission handling, because this is the complex part, which the desk user probably doesn't want to do, but they only have to provide, okay, who shall the file go to, or which shared drive shall the file go to, and you solve the step in the middle. Yeah. You could also have policies there. So.
Yeah, and we're seeing a lot of usage for, for approvals, for, some of those types of automations of some of those things you could do in batch with, just an app script and a sheet. But if it's something that's more of an ongoing process where users are just constantly submitting the stream and you need some way to sort of triage and approve and do that in a really automated way, Flows is a perfect fit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I had this idea because I remember we also have a process where when files are owned by someone who left the company, they are still there. Mm-hmm. And if you want to get access to those, then there is a approval process. So this could also be implemented with a custom step here.
And that's the beautiful thing. Yeah. It's like it's really up to you, to your organization, your use cases, and you just customize it and you tailor it to your needs. That's what I love about this. We did something new this year. And you were key to this, Jakob, actually. Mm-hmm. So traditionally, the Workspace Developer Summit has been one full day.
Yeah.
But this time, we had a half a day beforehand, and we had a hands-on workshop, or we call it a G-Hacks. Mm-hmm. Jakob, what was it about, and how was it for you?
First of all, thanks for giving me the opportunity to do that. Yesterday, I even met a person who said, last time at the Developer Summit, I gave feedback that we should do something hands-on. And I was like, oh, wow, cool.
You see, we listen.
we listen to your feedback. And I must say it was a new challenge also for me because before that, maybe first about the concept. So a G-hack is different from a typical lab that you would do where you copy instructions or even copy paste code and you immediately have the solution. A G-hack is meant to be a group challenge, and in that group challenge you know what you have to do, but you have to come up with your own solution. So in a way it was easier to write because I knew the output that I wanted to produce, but on the other hand the challenge was more on how do I provide the right resources or the right links so that people find what they need to do? I think many people learned yesterday about Google Workspace add-ons. What was surprising to me is that many people had already solved great problems with container-bound scripts. There were a few who had legacy add-ons, and they had worked around certain issues. For example, there was one lady who said, I have this great forms and sheets add-on, but the way I share it with people is I simply create a copy of my original sheet or my original form, and then the user has to configure that copy. And now I said, well, you could publish your add-on now as a Google Workspace add-on, making it available to the whole company so that they can just configure their own forms, their own sheets, without you having to maintain copies of all of those. Yeah, so what about the G-hack implementation itself? It took very long to get the labs working, so I think that's a challenge. You work in teams and you have four or five people working together. You have to organize yourself. And then the most challenging part was probably wrapping heads around Google Workspace add-on. So how is that different from what I'm used to? We had two challenges that were a little more elevated, let's say. So we integrated with Vertex AI. We showed how to extract information from unstructured data, so from email texts or from chat messages. And I think this is where people then saw, oh wow, this could really take me to the next level. I could build custom steps with that on the next day. So because we were using the same concepts on the next day as well. So my experience was good. For next time, I'm thinking about how can I build in some breaks, because I think it was a tough thing. Like we were working four hours straight, and I saw that people were still working on the labs or playing with it in the evening, so they had fun continuing the challenge there.
So yeah, I think it was the right thing to do.
Oh yeah, I mean I love seeing how engaged everyone was and working together and really, you know, embracing the challenge of it. I think we knew going in it was, you know, it was a stretch goal for people to finish it. But I think that's okay. Like, I'd rather people, you know, kind of see the challenge and you know, get close. And maybe they're just a little bit short, but they're wanting to go that just last mile and finish it up. And, I'd rather that than them just, you know, copy and paste some code and they're like, okay, well, that was cute, you know.
They built something, but they don't really understand why and
exactly.
how it works.
Whereas like this, I think people learned a lot more in the format. Maybe make it just a little bit easier next time. but I like the format. I love the use case, which, you know, a lot of it was around scheduling and calendaring and exactly what you had said in the thing about for the email case of extracting with teachers sending. Yeah. Kind of not easy to parse emails with some very important dates. As I have a kid who's, you know, she's been in school for a while. And yes, I get a lot of those emails about, hey, there's all these things coming up, but it's just buried in a mound of text.
Yeah. You should publish that as an app on the marketplace. I think that
a
lot of parents would love
that.
Yeah,
exactly. It struck a nerve. I'm just like, yeah, that I need this.
One thing that stood out to me, so I was, during the workshop, just helping as one of the mentors and just asking the teams, how's it going, and unblocking them. And I saw there's just one team, they're professional app script developers. They were literally finished with most of the challenges after 5 minutes. But when we asked them, okay, how did you go about, they used AI.
Yes.
And then I was speaking to another team and they were really struggling. And I was like, well, you know, have you checked Gemini? Have you asked Gemini? I was like, no, that's cheating, you know?
And it's not cheating.
And that's the main thing. Yeah. It's not cheating. We do the same thing. Yeah. No, I do think there's a lot of value in understanding the concepts. But if you see the way professional developers work, they're going to let Gemini do the heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. And they know what questions to ask. I think that's the big difference.
Yes.
But the key message here is, if you're starting out with workspace development and you're using the Gemini app or any other LLM, it's not cheating. We do it too. We want you to do it.
Yeah. And honestly, it's a tool, right? Yeah. It is just another tool in our toolbox. It does take some practice to use it well, right? Mm-hmm. And Justin had a great talk on this. Vinay did a vibe coding session at a GDG meetup the night before, or actually the night after the workshop. If you just kind of go in and say, like, build me this thing in one shot and don't really know what to expect, you're going to get some weird results. But if you know how to ask the right questions, how to prompt it, I have a custom gem I use that's kind of grounded and has the right context for add-ons. It works really well.
Yeah.
So now I can build add-ons and, you know, usually within, you know, 20 minutes to half an hour or so. I have to still make some changes, but I also know where it makes mistakes. And what kind of errors it's prone to, so I kind of know what to look at. Whereas if somebody who had never built anything before, that could actually get you in a little trouble, right?
Yeah,
because you're just like, why isn't this working? And so you still need the understanding. You still have to know the concepts.
But you can use it also to learn to get there, to increase your knowledge. So maybe to wrap this up, I asked for YouTube Shorts, which are going to be published on this YouTube channel, I asked participants, what is the main reason why someone should attend the Workspace Developer Summit?
Ooh.
I'm curious, you were the first time there now as a team member of the Workspace Developer team. What would you answer?
I would say you're meeting so many great people there who have great ideas and who may do things different from the way you used to do them. And this is what I understood from participants was the greatest input for them. Just we had a show and tell session in the end where some of the participants actually stood up and said, hey, this is what I have built, not today, but this is what I'm putting on the marketplace, this is what I'm thinking about putting on the marketplace, and there were lots of discussions just spinning up from that. So we had to move people out eventually. but the networking, which I thought was scheduled for a very long time,
yeah
I think they would have stayed longer.
They would have stayed longer. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's true.
So it was lots of knowledge exchange there.
Very cool. Steve, how would you answer that question?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say the same thing. I mean, it is a great opportunity to learn about what's new in the platform. But yeah, honestly, yeah, for myself, it's the conversations. There's a really good mix of people that we have known for a long time that we've seen over the years at various events, plus a whole bunch of new faces. Yeah. And the show and tell, yeah, I actually love that we added that this year. We did it in Sunnyvale. We did it again. We had backup content. We weren't sure, like, we're okay, what if people don't get up there? Right? It's like, okay, we have to have something ready. And I have some side projects. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go. They just blew me away with just really creative solutions to, you know, interesting problems. And it was fantastic. And everyone was like just super supportive. Afterwards they were all talking to each other. Oh, how did you build that? And, you know, so on. And it was fantastic. I loved it.
Sorry to interrupt here, but you said they were building solutions for problems. So that's probably the most interesting part for us, because we see what are the things you're struggling with. And like when I build a demo sometimes, then I know, this is cool, and this would be nice to show. Okay, how do I construct a problem that makes this solution work?
Exactly.
Preventing the problem,
It's exactly so true. It's like oftentimes we have a solution in search of a problem sometimes.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, they come out of like, oh, I have this problem. What's the fastest way to get there? And so the way they approach it is, you know, sometimes very different than maybe what we, like, you know, like I would have done, or, you know, we would have done in a sample or something. Mm-hmm. But just the creativity and just the, it's I loved it. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Really cool. And what I'd also like to highlight is we always have product managers traveling with us to these events, and they love this because this is their opportunity to speak to the community, get their feedback, and get ideas from them. And as you know, here, what for real life solutions are they trying to solve with our product? So yeah, we love these Workspace Developer Summits. We love the Developer Spotlight episodes, especially the ones that we get to do in person, because we're a remote team. We're globally.
I know. So, you're both people I only get to see when traveling.
I know. So we love to be in together in the studio. And thank you, viewers, for watching, and hope to see you soon.